Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. We turn our attention again to the last two verses of our gospel lesson for the day. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The Gospel of our Lord. Jesus of Nazareth was no glory hound. The degree to which he avoided the spotlight during his time of ministry after many of his miracles simply mystified his disciples. Unlike prominent public figures of our day, Jesus did not take every opportunity to point to his own accomplishments or to advertise his acts of charity. Jesus was not campaigning for anything. In fact, it was just the opposite. He knew exactly who he was and what he had come to do. And so he spoke it with clarity and humility. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as we read in our New Testament epistle lesson for the day from Philippians, we have so much to learn about the humility that Jesus showed. There were occasions in the Gospels when those who had been on the receiving end of a miracle, when questioned by the leaders, the Pharisees, and the others who opposed Jesus, those made whole and healthy again by Christ, could not answer for sure who it was that had healed them. Perhaps you recall when Jesus cast out thousands of demons from a man living amongst the tombs, he told that man, "Keep it to yourself." We watch as Jesus comes back down the Mount of Transfiguration, having just experienced all of his divinity, shining through with brilliant, profound, heavenly glory, clearly demonstrating for anyone who saw it that he is God wrapped in human flesh. But he tells Peter, James, and John, "Don't tell anyone what you've just experienced until after I have risen from the dead." Indeed, Jesus of Nazareth was no glory hound. And that is just the way his detractors liked it. The throngs that came out to see Jesus were drawn to him by what he could do. And it made those who hated him, those who led the Hebrew religion of the day, envious and bitter. On more than one occasion, they accused him of leading the people astray. And Jesus would be the first one to admit that many came out to see him for all the wrong reasons, that they were only interested in the here and now, this life, and their problems and challenges that they wanted Jesus to fix for them. And these enemies of Jesus would also challenge his authority to speak at every opportunity they could find. And so, when Jesus would do the things he was able to do and speak the things he was able to speak, forgiveness of sins and the direction of demons and even speaking people back to life, his enemies would come up with some really crazy ideas as to how to remedy the situation. Just days before his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he had raised Lazarus from the dead 4 days after his funeral. And it created a whole new level of interest in Jesus and popularity. The people just swarmed to him. In response to that, these same leaders that commanded Jesus to tell his disciples on Palm Sunday to keep quiet, They decided it was in their best interest to plot to kill both Jesus and Lazarus. That just didn't make any sense. Despite how humble in attitude and appearance Jesus was, the simple fact was that he could do things that no one could have ever done before. Things that the people who were drawn to him could not even begin to imagine that any human being would be allowed to do. And so they wanted to thank God for bringing this man into their midst. So it should not surprise us at all that on Palm Sunday, Jesus' enemies, as Luke records it in the gospel here, take great exception to all the events that are going on. After all, what a scandal. The man who had done amazing, powerful acts of healing, who had given hope to the people, who had taught them the truth of God with love and compassion, who had changed so very many lives. He was greeted by the people gathering for this festival day as the gift from God that he truly was. It was most likely what these people were saying to Jesus that angered his enemies the most, especially when they acknowledged him to be a son of David, someone who could save them, someone coming in the name of the Lord. How dare Jesus allow any of them to believe and to proclaim that he was God's answer to human problems? That he would allow them to praise God in this way? But the biggest problem that Jesus' enemies had with the situation was that these throngs of people had gotten it exactly right. You see, while the leaders of the Jewish religion in Jerusalem would never have dreamed of acknowledging Jesus to be the Son of David, the Son of God, the Savior, to whom we could cry out, Hosanna, save us, coming in the name of the Lord, that is exactly who Jesus was. A descendant of David. Check. The one predicted in the scriptures who came in the name of the Lord to save God's people. Check. Since God had laid out the events of this day long before in the Old Testament promises and prophecies of scripture, the people knew well from synagogue school exactly what was supposed to happen on this day when God would come to his temple. They knew in what they saw happening all around them that this was a fulfillment of everything God had promised. No, they didn't understand it completely. The salvation that they clamored for in this moment was not likely much to do about their sins and the predicament of God's judgment against them because of their rebellion. It likely was a fervor more hopeful of political, governmental changes that might come at the hands of this Jesus. But the enemies of Jesus, as they viewed everything that was happening, were certain in their minds that this had all been orchestrated by Jesus. That he knew the Old Testament very well. He had demonstrated that in his preaching and teaching. That it was he who had chosen not a donkey, but the colt, the foal of a donkey. That it was his disciples that had begun cutting down the palm branches and waving them and taking off their cloaks and laying them in the road. And it was his disciples that had started the chants of Hosanna, save us, Lord, and things about blessed who comes in the name of the Lord and peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It wasn't Jesus. and it wasn't his disciples. That the leaders who wanted this to stop were pushing back against in that moment. But it was really the true eternal God behind it all, making certain of every last detail. This was the moment for which all of creation had been constantly, earnestly waiting. This was the moment predicted in such detail that anyone paying attention would note its proper place in the progression of all the events that would unfold over the coming week. This would leave no doubt, that this Jesus of Nazareth who was entering the city was God's only Son, the Savior of the world, come that day to pay for every sin of every human. Jesus himself had been extremely careful about when and where he would identify himself as God in human flesh, or the Messiah. There were only a few occasions recorded in the Gospels. And on those occasions, ironically, it was with those who were Gentiles, not Jews, that Jesus would allow that to be openly communicated back and forth. The moment would soon arrive, just a few days later, that Jesus would stand nose to nose and eyeball to eyeball with Caiaphas, the high priest, and admit, when questioned, that he was the Son of God in human flesh, and that would be the damning evidence of his trial. By that admission, Jesus would be condemning himself to death. With that moment so near on the horizon, it absolutely was part of God's eternal saving plan, long promised to his people, that the events of this day would generate this kind of excitement, this kind of passion, and this kind of reaction from Jesus' enemies. It was because of his generating this furor and fury that all the other things would come about that had to be. Persecution, arrest, trials, beatings, mocking, scourging, thorns, nails, and finally a dead body in a borrowed grave. They all were made only more certain by the worthy shouts and praises of the throngs rightfully directed toward Jesus that Sunday morning. So what else could Jesus have responded to those who demanded that he silence those worshiping him? What else but a why bother, as Jesus' response pretty much amounted to? After all, this was an occasion of the Creator God's ordaining, as his only Son was walking to his moment of greatest glory. Everything Jesus was about to do would unlock all of creation from its long oppressive bondage to decay, to destruction. Every element of nature had clamored to join in the chorus of praise to creation's God in celebration of his saving work now coming about. If not one single human being in that moment had opened their mouths and offered their praises to God, to his Son, to this one who came in the name of the Lord, pleading that he save them, Jesus tells them the very rocks beneath the hoofs of that colt that he rode would have shouted out in that moment their praise to God. So, Christian, join the throng. Shout your hosannas and sing your glad songs. Praise him with your witness of his saving work before believer and unbeliever alike. Sing your praises of your Savior in this moment, this day, as you acknowledge him to be the one who is God's ultimate answer to human sin. Sing those praises as you gather to receive his body and blood this Maundy Thursday. Sing again on Good Friday the violence and the victory. And sing your risen Lord his due praises, for he has guaranteed you life forever. Praise him because you have every reason to praise him, and don't even think about allowing the rocks to do it for you. They praised him because he was worthy of their praise. They praised him because they understood who he was and what he had come to do. Had they refused to proclaim their worthy praise of Jesus, the stones would have cried out and done it for them. Jesus is our King, and our King Jesus will be praised. Shout his praises. Sing your songs to his glory today, tomorrow, forever, because he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord to save us. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.